And Mr. Don Rojas is the former press secretary of Maurice Bishop from 1981 to 1983, before he was the chief editor of Grenada National Newspaper. We're going to be talking with him, very insightful, to get into the type of person, because he, of course, would know Maurice Bishop personally. So we're going to go deep into a conversation that you probably never heard on radio before. And of course, we encourage the folks that would like to participate to call in, to save their comments for after the interview, so we could get as much as we could from Mr. Don Rojas, who's a personal friend and press secretary of Maurice Bishop. Again, folks, it's Hot Caribbean Radio, TCNHD.com, and we're broadcasting live here from New York. We're doing everything live, so we'll call up Mr. Rojas right now, get a chance to speak with him. This is live radio. This is like reality radio. Yeah?
Hello.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, my brother?
I am absolutely fine. First of all, let me tell you, thank you so much. I know it was short noticed. For taking the time to join with us here on the radio. We actually live in New York and around the world on HotCaribbean.com. Live in New York on Star FM 99.3.
Right.
And today, as everyone knows, is a very important day in the history of Grenada. And while going through all the history of everything, your name popped up so prominently. So I said, I know Mr. Don, so let's talk with Don.
Alright.
Kind of connection.
Well, I'm happy to join you this morning. It's a sad day for all of us who were involved in Grenada and in the experiment that was known as the Grenada Revolution. It is the 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
If you believe how time flies.
Yeah.
Since Maurice Bishop and several of his colleagues and other leaders of government were assassinated at Fort Rupert,
yeah,
on this day 30 years ago. So, you know, for those of us who worked with Maurice and knew Maurice very well, he was a wonderful human being. It is a sad day, but we also have fond memories of the accomplishments of the People's Revolutionary Government in the 4.5 years that it was in power.
Let me ask you a question, Don. How did you become, or how did you get to know Maurice Bishop?
Well, you know, Maurice Bishop and I went to the same school in Grenada, the Presentation Boys College.
Right.
Many, many moons ago. So we knew each other from the days of when we were both teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Maurice was a couple of years older than I was, and at the Presentation College, he was the head boy in those days. He was sort of the student leader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all looked up to him. He had, of course, leadership qualities from the time he was a young man, even before he became a political leader and then the prime minister of the country later on. So he and I had a relationship going all the way back then. His father, Rupert Bishop, and my father, Frank Rojas, were good friends during the time that we lived in Grenada when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And so those family connections go back a long way. And, you know, Maurice went off to England to study law. I came to the United States in 1968 to study and then later to work in New York in the fields of journalism and communications, and so we lost contact with each other for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 1979, when the revolution came to power in March of 1979, I was in New York at the time, and you know, became very active in the support groups that had been formed in New York to support the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And And then in October of that year, Brother Bish, as we used to affectionately call him, mm-hmm. Brother Bish came up to the UN to address the United Nations General Assembly.
Right.
In October of that year. And we met. I was then an editor at the Amsterdam News. I also had my own radio program on WLIB back then. And I interviewed him for the radio program and also for the newspaper, and we got to talking, and he said, look, you know, do you ever consider coming back to Grenada? And we really need people with your skills and experience. And I said, well, you know, it's something that I'd actually been thinking about for some time, but I didn't have any concrete plans.
Right.
So we had a very pleasant chat, and he said to me, all right, well, let's stay in touch. So he left, went back to Grenada after he had finished with his assignments in New York. And then 10 days later, I got a call from him, and he said, look, you know, would you consider coming down to Grenada? We really need your support, and we have a national newspaper for the Free West Indian. We're looking for an editor. Would you consider coming down and working in that capacity? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So within a few days of that call, mm-hmm. I found myself in Grenada in October of 1979,
mm-hmm.
And then stayed in Grenada and worked for 4 years, almost to the day, in October of 1983,
mm-hmm.
After Maurice died, and then the invasion took place. The U.S. invasion took place on October the 25th. So, in a nutshell, that's how I arrived in Grenada. That's how I became first the editor of the national newspaper.
Right.
The Free West Indian. I did that for the first 2 years I was in Grenada, and then Maurice asked me to become his press secretary for the second 2 year period. And yes, it was a wonderful experience. I traveled with him all over the world,
mm-hmm.
as his press secretary. I was also his speech writer, and it was just an honor and a privilege for me to be able to not only be a close assistant to the Prime Minister, but also to serve the people of Grenada, and by extension, the people of the Caribbean. Because, as you know, Junior,
mm-hmm.
the Grenada Revolution resonated very positively and powerfully throughout the region. I mean, we had lots of friends and lots of organizations that supported and were in solidarity with the Grenada Revolution.
Yeah.
From Trinidad, from Jamaica, in the, yes, all throughout the entire region. That's right.
Yeah, but you know, it's so much angles that I want to take this interview that there's so much questions that I would like to ask. You know, first of all, what was the mindset like? How was Maurice Bishop? How was he throughout it all, becoming prime minister after overthrowing the then government and coming into power as the prime minister? What was his mindset? I know the people loved him, but how did he feel his victory? Like, what was his person like?
He was a very warm-hearted individual. A true people person.
Right.
And you know, he had the common touch. And the ordinary folk in Grenada loved him for that. He clearly was a very brilliant man. Prior to becoming the prime minister, as you know, he was a successful lawyer defended you know, a number of you know, poor, humble folk who could not have afforded to have a, you know, high-priced attorney represent them. He mm-hmm. stepped in and did that, and so that helped to build his reputation as someone, as a man of the people,
mm-hmm.
someone with empathy and, yeah. You know, so he was, when he became the prime minister, he was, of course, also the leader of the opposition at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he had his, he had a legal career, successful legal career, and also a successful political career. So I think when he became prime minister in March 13th, 1979, he was already mentally and intellectually and spiritually prepared for the mm-hmm. job.
Right.
He stepped in and immediately began to put his mark and his stamp on the office of Prime Minister, and also began to lift the profile of Grenada on the international stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traveling around the world, speaking at international conferences, became recognized and respected by world leaders, really did lift the image of Grenada. The small island of Grenada, just 100,000 people, it had an impact, influence that was disproportionate to its size.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, so, but he leaves that legacy, you know, despite the tragic circumstances of his death.
Yeah.
He has left a wonderful legacy that all Grenadians, no matter what their politics today is, all Grenadians should be proud of the history of the country during the time that he was the Prime Minister.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the days leading up to October 19, 1983.
Okay.
What could you tell us about the mindset of the people and the political atmosphere in Grenada around that time?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there were some internal conflicts within the New Jewel movement. I don't want to go into all of the details. We don't have the time for that. But suffice it to say that those conflicts came to a head.
Mm-hmm.
Within the New Jewel movement, that led to a certain faction.
Mm-hmm.
Within the leadership of the New Jewel movement, led by Bernard Cord, who was the Deputy Prime Minister at the time, and supported by a section of, within the military.
Mm-hmm.
They put Bishop under house arrest.
Uh-huh.
And the people of Grenada, in the vast majority of people of Grenada, were horrified at this. They did not support it.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 19th of October, 1983, the masses of Grenadians, led by young school kids, you know, school children actually, marched to Bishop's home, where he was being held under house arrest, and literally freed him, you know, in spite of the military, in spite of the weapons, and they then took him to Fort Rupert,
mm-hmm.
where he was planning to then make a speech to the thousands of people who had come from all over the country. Into once the news got out that the people had freed him, folks from all the villages around the country began to come into St. George's, and the plan was that Maurice would address them at a market square rally in the market square. But of course, that never happened because he was arrested again at Fort Rupert. He and Unison Whiteman, Jackie Craft, and a number of other leaders of the government,
mm-hmm.
Were lined up and shot and assassinated. Cold-blooded assassination.
Mm.
It was just a horrible crime, not only against Grenada, not only against but against the revolution. It was a horrible crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then that led to the country being put on a shutdown. There was a 24-hour curfew,
mm-hmm.
That lasted for several days.
And that wasn't still by who at that point in time? By the then new fraction that you said that was planning internal coup? Or who enacted the curfew?
The curfew was enacted by the military at the time, led by Hudson Austin, who was the general of the military,
uh-huh.
And supported by Bernard Cord,
mm-hmm.
Who was the Deputy Prime Minister, and so they imposed a curfew, to shut down the country.
Uh-huh.
for, you know, it was around the clock, 24-hour curfew. Mm-hmm. And that lasted for 6 days. Now, once Bishop was killed, the U.S. military and the U.S. government made the decision that this was an opportunity to exploit the confusion and the internal conflicts.
Because, of course, we know that there were problems before, even before the invasion. The problem at the time was Reagan was saying that they're building an international airport that is too big for the country, and why are they building it? Because, of course, they got aid and assistance from the Cuban government, who then was a communist.
Right, exactly. So Reagan, you know, from the time Reagan came into office in 1981, you know, he was opposed to the Grenada Revolution. He thought that, he said many times in several speeches that Grenada was building. The airport was believed that's going to be a military base for the Cubans and the Russians, which was totally untrue. He also said that the American medical students in Grenada were in danger from the government and the military, and he concocted a number of lies to justify a military invasion. Now, bear in mind, Junior, that back in 1981. The U.S. military carried out military exercises, on the island of Vieques, just off of Puerto Rico, and this was like a rehearsal, you know, for a potential invasion of Grenada. So they had these plans on the table from 2 years before they invaded. So it was just a question of Reagan, as the commander in chief, giving the order to go ahead with the invasion, and so they did that on October the 25th. And well, you know, those of us who were there, it was a very frightening experience to have you know, the world's most powerful military invade one of the smallest nations in the world.
Right.
And what followed after that was you know. The U.S. military took control of the country, and then they imposed a provisional government, an interim government, before they had elections. The interim government was there for about a year, and then they organized elections. But they, you know, the U.S. at the time was in control. They were calling the shots.
Right.
You know, they were running Grenada from October of 1979 for at least for another year after that. I mean, October of 83.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Hot Caribbean Radio Star FM. We're looking at the invasion, the anniversary. Today marks the 30th anniversary since the death of Maurice Bishop on that fateful day. And 6 days after the 25th, we had the invasion of the U.S. And we're talking live with Mr. Don Rojas, who was the press secretary for Maurice Bishop during that time from the year 1981 to 1983. And he's given us our his time, very short notice, but we really appreciate it, Mr. Rojas. Mr. Rojas, in addition, do you think that the U.S.-led invasion at that time was a success, or do you think that it was supported, or was it justified at that particular time frame to free Grenadians over the stronghold that they was having?
Well, it was supported by a large number of Grenadians because really they saw it as an end to a reign of terror that had been imposed on them for several days. I mean, you know, consider this: if you were locked up in your home, all right, on a 24-hour shoot-on-sight curfew, you cannot leave your home, you cannot go about your normal daily duties for several days because of the curfew. You know, if relief came from any quarter, from any source, to lift that that curfew, you know, it's a normal human reaction that you would be relieved and satisfied. So. Well, from that perspective, there were a lot of Grenadians that supported the revolution, that supported the invasion. Unfortunately, many did not understand that the invasion was never meant to free the people from the curfew and from the tyranny of the military that had taken power. It was really an effort to stamp out the revolution once and for all, and to restore a government that would be more compliant, that would be more that would be easier to control and manipulate. They weren't able to do that during the 4 years that the bishop was in power. And it was successful in that sense, mm-hmm. right? But there are lots of us who have said back then and maintain today that the invasion was an illegal act. You know, the violation of the United Nations Charter, the violation of international law, and it was an immoral act. But nonetheless, you know, it happened, and it changed the course of Grenadian history, and I would say, indeed, the history of the Caribbean, more broadly speaking.
Absolutely. And one other question I want to ask you, because this is a question that is even been asked at this point, two-part question, Mr. Rojas. The people are yet to find out where is Maurice Bishop's body, for one, and that is something that is even been asked today. Body was never found. And secondly, do you think that the cord? Cord and his group were responsible,
right.
And if they were, do you think that their sentence was justified? Because as we know, as of today, they have been released from prison. Do you think that their sentence and their time spent was justified for the act? So it's a kind of two part question. I don't know how you would break that.
Julio, you and I and many others do not have the answer to the first question. We don't know where Bishop's body is. There are a number of theories, mm-hmm. and speculations. Some theories held that his body was taken by the U.S. military and they are in possession of it. There were other theories that his body was burnt, and so on. So it's still a mystery. 30 years later, it's still a mystery as to whatever happened to the body of Maurice Bishop. In terms of your second question, I would say yes, the sentences were justified. Cord and his faction, the members of his faction, not all of them, but members of his faction, were tried in the Grenada courts, were found guilty, and they served time in prison for many years. When they were released, some of them apologized, took responsibility for their actions, and apologized to the Grenadian people. Cord, of course, left the country, is now living in Jamaica, mm-hmm. His wife, who was also in prison for a number of years, and several others. I won't go into all the names of those who had served time in the Grenadian jail system. So those sentences were definitely justified. There were some now who called for the death sentence. I had opposed it. I continue to oppose it because, in principle, I am against the death penalty.
Right.
Not only in Grenada but anywhere in the world. As a matter of principle, I oppose it. But the jail sentences were justified.
Okay, thank you, Don. Really appreciate the time and giving us some more information as to what happened on that day, October 19th, 30 years ago in Grenada, that led to the U.S., some would say what led to the U.S. invasion of the country on the 25th, which is celebrated right now as, I think, Thanksgiving Day.
Liberation Day
in Grenada. And some people might say, Thanksgiving for what?
Exactly. Thanksgiving for what?
You know,
I would say that for sure.
Yeah, you know. So, but regardless of what angle you take on the whole thing, I think one thing that cannot be taken away from the history of Grenada is that Maurice Bishop, your friend, was a noble man, a man that looked out for the people. Even when I speak to my mom, she have fond memories of conversation that she had with him. So he was a good man and respected. So the other day I was looking at a poster and they had a picture with Barack Obama, Maurice Bishop, a couple of other leaders, and Maurice Bishop was there, like very prominent. It made me very proud.
Yes.
You know, because of his charisma, you know, and
right.
his speeches that you actually wrote a lot of those speeches as well. So it is noted, and I think it's written in history that Maurice Bishop was a great man and loved by the people of Grenada. And whether you think that the U.S. led invasion was a success or not a success, or good or not good for Grenada, I guess it's everyone's opinion on that. But thank you.
I concur, Junior. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I want to send my greetings to all your listeners, and to particularly to all the Grenadian sisters and brothers who may be listening to this program. Thanks for doing this on your show. Appreciate
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you a million. And we'll communicate again, Mr. Rojas, and again, we appreciate your time.
For sure. All okay,
right.
All the best.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Yeah, we are speaking there live with Mr. Don Rojas, who is the former press secretary and personal friend of Maurice Bishop of Grenada. He'd been the press secretary from 1981 to 1983. Before that, he was the editor of and chief of the Grenada National newspaper, the Free West Indian. When the U.S. Marine invaded Grenada in 1983, he was deported to the U.S. and military to Barbados. He currently general manager of a station here, WABAI, New York, and he's also in Boston, World Speech TV. A good friend of mine, Mr. Don Rojas, thank you so much.